So today, I want to talk about, present some passages from a couple of books channeled in the 1950s from or through a man named Trevor James Constable, sometimes written as Trevor James. Trevor James Constable was born 1925, died the end of March 2016, just a year and a half ago. The two books are Spacemen, Friends and Foes, 1957, and a book called They Live in the Sky, also from the mid or late 1950s. Now, from Wikipedia, there's a very minor and not very helpful, I found, biography. Considered, again, an early UFO writer. Actually, he was from New Zealand. He served 31 years at sea and was a radio officer for the U.S. Merchant Marine. And connected to people like Eric Dollard, who was that RCA radio astronomy engineer. Authored several books on aerial warfare of World War II. And in a more interesting description or biography and kind of tribute to him from a man named Thomas Brown, Thomas Joseph Brown, tribute to Trevor James Constable, 1925, 2016, with the title Trevor James Constable, Trailblazing Etheric Engineer. There's some interesting points. I'm not going to read the whole page, but it's useful to get a sense of a background. He seemed to have been a very fine man and was an associate of George Van Tassel in the 50s in the Southern California desert with the Integratron, working from Wilhelm Reich's designs and Orgone, and as an, quote, etheric engineer. Was very much interested in making rain and cloud busting and orgone producing and all sorts of things. Radio officer in the Merchant Marine, aviation historian, and he basically he entered the British Merchant Navy. Became a radio officer in 1948, after he when he was 23, but basically joined a Union Steamship Company at age 17, 1942. So a guy was born between the two wars, World One and Two, who was kind of right at the time when he could have been in World War II, but ended up being a radio officer on some ships, became chief radio officer for Matson Lines, which is a major global shipping company, between U.S. and Hawaii, on the SS Maui. And did all sorts of research for etheric weather engineering and etheric technology development. He wrote these books, They Live in the Sky, Invisible, Incredible UFO Around Us, Cosmic Pulse of Life, and Spacemen, Friends and Foes, They Live in the Sky. He joined Borderland Sciences Research Foundation, BSRF, in the 50s, connected with George Van Tassel, who was at these UFO conferences in the 50s, so probably one of the people that perhaps, who knows, Don Elkins may have connected with before, in the very early days, began under Van Tassel's tutelage channeling UFO entities himself. And he wrote it, quote, blundering in where angels might be terrorized. So he had a sense of humor about it, which was nice. He spoke in regard to his channeling experiences down the page a bit. Quote, suffice it to say that by persisting with the techniques learned at Giant Rock, which is what George Van Tassel's place was in the Southern California desert. I set the stage for an eruption of the unseen worlds into a consciousness, mine, not prepared for such an impact. Becoming suddenly sensitive or sensitive suddenly to a spectra of vibration with which one is totally unfamiliar can be an unhinging experience. In recent years, the so-called psychedelic revolution has exposed untold thousands of persons to the consequences of chemical tampering with consciousness. All such forcing open of doors is destructive of orderly inner development, no matter what the academic qualifications of its advocates. And that's true. So there is some use of psychedelics in consciousness expansion, but psychedelics is not a path, as I talked about with Ken Bach in a long interview about trends in the transpersonal psychology community of Northern California today. An interview with Ken Bach a couple of months ago. Going on, Trevor became very psychic, knowing what people would be saying before they spoke, whilst dealing with the entities who, quote, poured confusing rubbish into him, whatever that is. So he obviously had some mixed experiences with channeling. But today, I want to look at simply the quotes from the two pages. One, Spacemen, Friends and Foes. Two, They Live in the Sky. Just some of the quotes that claim to be channeled. And you can evaluate them on your own. But they're interesting to me. And I think they have some truth if we modify some terms into a seven-dimensional metaphysics akin to what Ra presented. And so down the page, on the page, Spacemen, Friends and Foes, Part 1, Trevor James, 1957, again from BorderlandSciences.org, he writes, "The information that follows, and the comment on it by myself, is presented with but one purpose in mind, to clarify the saucer mystery for all who earnestly seek an answer. I do not ask that all that is written should be accepted as fact, despite its origin. Every single thing written should be turned over to the reader's critical judgment, scrutinized, weighed, evaluated, and either accept or cast out in accordance with what these faculties dictate," meaning the faculties of your reason and analysis. "One thing can be taken as certain, the messages are authentic communications through telepathy by myself in the conscious waking state. At no time was I under any form of control, seen or unseen. The messages have assumed their particular character because of my sincere insistence upon valid and useful information of high grade." And he makes a quip, says, "I was not interested in finding out whether Mrs. Venus has a washing machine and a mixmaster, but rather in what her husband was doing flying around this planet. I have at no time been interested in prophecy, but rather in seeking out explanations of various phenomena which have been observed in connection with the flying saucers." So again, this is 60 years ago. Okay? This is some choice material from the Space Brothers phenomenon in the 1950s, some of which I believe surely produced important, true information from Confederation sources. And you can see it in the book Secrets of the UFO that that comes from L&L Research as a precursor for the raw material. He goes on, "The messages were compiled from notes made during receptions, that is, during reception of all of the information. All pertinent material, names, and other portions likely to suffer from memory lapses were written down. Immediately upon terminating the contact, the messages were compiled into written form, as close to verbatim as possible. The messages were received from Ashtar, who identifies himself as Commandant Vela Quadra Sector, Realms of Sher, all projections, all waves." All right. Now that doesn't impress me. It's a black little black mark or red flag. Nevertheless, in my personal view, some of these early communications that where people believed it was Ashtar may have been a positive Confederation source using the name of Ashtar. And there may be some entity or group named Ashtar or something like that, but later communications, Ashtar Command and all that, many of them I think are faulty and fraudulent and troublesome. But again, you've got to look at each particular communication. One person who says, I'm channeling Ashtar, and another one may be receiving true information from a true Confederation source that's not named Ashtar. And another one might be receiving it from a deceptive negative entity on the astral plane or 4D negative. And another person may be simply making it up as they speak and believe it's channeling. And yet, some of what they speak may be useful in true philosophy or spiritual teaching. So it's very complicated, and people have to be careful and don't throw everything out, don't make summary judgments quickly. But look at the material and see what you think. We know that skeptics are irrational and unneeded. So, going on, let us begin. Trevor James goes on. Let us begin with one interesting phenomenon observed frequently in connection with the flying saucers, which everyone had wondered about. And I'm just going to go to the Q&A, and I'm just going to go down the page rather than get too much into his commentary between the channeled passages. His question: what is the relationship between the sightings of spacecraft and the proximity of Mars to Earth? Quote, answer. This is again Ashtar, supposedly. There is, in fact, no real relationship, only one which seems to present. When Mars approaches Shan, Earth, and that is actually a very old theosophical term for Earth is Shan. When Mars approaches Shan, there is what I shall describe as an etheric reaction between the two. The result of this reaction is that craft in your skies become more easily visible to your optics. In actual fact, there are no more and no less craft in your skies during Mars proximity than at any other time. The difference lies in what is available to your physical optics. And he goes on, question: great controversy in the saucer world has long surrounded the exact nature of the beings operating the spaceships. What type of beings are they? Are you, quote, etheric beings, or are you possessed of a fleshly physical body such as mine? I will actually comment after I finish the sections. And so bear in mind that the word etheric was used is a very sloppy term. It covers many dimensional energy fields, right? Is sixth density etheric in the raw material? Sixth density energy field is called the etheric or the form maker body, the form maker level. Sixth density, the etheric field, which is intelligent energy. But that's not exactly what's being meant here. The answer: I am etheric. I do not have a fleshly body like yours, bounded by flesh, but it is possible for me to make my being visible to your optics by certain changes in its vibratory rate. He questioned, this would mean you are normally invisible to us? The answer: yes. As you are an etheric being, are there other etheric beings visible to you? The answer is yes, although not exactly in terms of optical vision as you know it, meaning more of a synesthetic or unified senses perception, not simply visual by eyes. Question: from your statement that you are etheric, am I to presume that you've evolved beyond the stage of a physical and astral body? So you see, we're going to see down in further material here, we're talking about three different levels: physical, astral, etheric. And that is one, those dimensional, those terms are associated with dimensional levels, are associated with particular extraterrestrial groups. And I'm not throwing out the raw material, I'm just offering this to you so you can find whatever truth you may and interject it into, or introduce it into, or leaven it into what of the raw material and universal metaphysics or cosmology you come to see as true. But there are three levels we're talking here: physical, astral, etheric. The basic idea is that the positive ETs here are being called etheric. Negative entities are associated with astral and physical. And we know that there are higher fourth density, fifth density negative entities, Orion, and surface to self entities. So this is not a complete presentation, obviously. Anyway, the question, I presume you've evolved beyond the stage of a physical and astral body. Answer, correct. I do not possess a physical casing of the dense type such as yours. I am definitely etheric, as are all people on other planets in this solar system. However, this does not mean that we are invisible to each other, as we are to you under normal circumstances. We see each other and live much as you do, but we do not have this dense physical casing which you possess. The advantages, benefits, and comforts of this form of living are enormous, and the irritations of a fleshly envelope are most uncomfortable. Unless we choose to convert the vibratory frequency of our bodies to one which is visible to your optics, we remain invisible to your people. Highly evolved people with a good psychic eye, as you call it, can frequently see us in vaporous form, although we may be invisible to other Earthlings in the same location. When your clairvoyants travel to our civilizations on other planets, they see and are able to interpret our lives because they are not using their physical eyes, but rather their astral or psychic sight, to which we are visible just as though we were physical. So, he's indic you know the source is saying, yes, I don't have a physical body. Yes, we are in quote etheric bodies, visible to each other but invisible to you. Such a etheric or energy body form is certainly much more comfortable with many benefits. Yes, indeed, we can make ourselves apparent to you by converting the vibratory frequencies of their bodies, basically downstepping their vibratory rate. That's very commonly understood. Highly evolved people or those who are clairvoyant can see them in some form. Clairvoyance of other type may go out of body or do remote viewing or astral journey or something and see them in higher dimensional non-physical realms, higher dimensional other planets, civilizations or something. Obviously, they're using their psychic awareness or astral or higher senses. We know all about that. Question: when you become visible to our optics, does the person who sees you know that you are a quote converted etheric? Meaning, if a person sees you after you've downstepped your vibratory rate and appear physical, would they necessarily know you're not physical, but just temporarily? And the answer is not as a rule. The conversion can be made so completely that a physical person encountering us thinks that we too are physical. And that's similar to men in black who are not, benevolent etherics or benevolent confederation, higher dimensional beings, but thought constructs that Ross talked about, but can certainly be downstepped and appear very tangible and substantial and solid. What a question. What of those who claim to have been taken up in your craft? So abductions, and this was going on in the 50s. That was already happening. As well as on-ship visitations and things like that. This was obviously well-developed already in the 50s. Answer. In our contacts with Earthlings, we have to be careful not to go beyond their understanding. In these instances, the ships and all entities within them are converted to a vibrational level at which they had the substance of physical things as known to you. Whether the experience was physical or astral is not known to some people who had the experience. And so people can have the experience of being taken aboard a ship for negative type action like abduction, probing, and all that, or communication. And some of it's real, meaning truly higher dimensional or astral or benevolent, and some of it's not. Some people fool themselves. Some people think they had it, but they didn't. Some people are mind controlled. There's all sorts of things going on. One explanation does not fit all, ever. in metaphysics or in psychology. So there are multiple cases, each is unique, and people have to be very careful in interpreting claimed metaphysical experience, of course. But again, the point is that in a true metaphysical taking on the craft experience, whether positive or negative, there is the downgrading of their vibrational frequency so as to appear physical or be experienced as physical. Question: the astral and etheric concepts are difficult to grasp at first. Answer: persist and have faith. There is much to learn. Indeed, there is much to learn. Going further, talking about fireballs in the 50s, reported in various parts of the US. Question: are these fireballs dropped from your craft? What is their purpose? And here's a very interesting answer. The fireballs, what, meteors? The fireballs are nullifiers for certain radioactive effects which your scientists do not even know they are releasing. These nullifiers prevent the poisoning of your people and are released upon the orders of our Heavenly Father, Logos. We cannot intervene actively in the cessation of such experiments, but we must do all possible to prevent the wanton destruction of human life resulting from these experiments. And the question is, it has been noted that the air contains a large percentage of copper after these fireballs have been seen. Answer: this is true. This is part of the fireball's functions. For the most part, the fireballs are seen in the vicinity of atomic installations and laboratories, but not all fireballs are ours, and all do not have the same purpose. Okay, so you see, it's very subtle, it's complicated. You cannot, one explanation does not fit all ever. Don't ever fall into that. So there are multiple sources of so-called fireballs. There are multiple purposes for them, but the ones that at least these purported Confederation representatives, connecting with Mr. James here, Trevor, in the 50s, are saying is to prevent poisoning of the people and nullify radioactive effects. I imagine that's been done quite a lot since the 50s and the nuclear age. Going further, something related. A question which has greatly disturbed me. This is Trevor James Constable writing. A question which has greatly disturbed me concerns the rumors of an underground race on this planet. I would appreciate any information you can give me. What about D-Rose, and what about what's going on? And this has some bearing on the contacts at South America, so you spooks and agents take note and bump up the talk here and send it along. Quote, answer: at the core of your planet, there dwells a greatly degenerated race, an astral race, not physical, which is degenerate not so much in science, but in every moral respect, as you know and understand it. They are capable of space flight within the astral regions around the Earth, but are earthbound. They are the forces of Uranus, whom you call Satan. They emerge at the South Pole. On your surface, they have allies who are without mercy and without morals. I give you this information that you may be aware of their existence. I enjoin you to forever close any researches into this astral activity in the interests of your own safety. Be on your guard always. Be careful and vigilant. So a very, the kind of serious rejoinder, the kind of serious counsel given here at the end of this passage, similar to Ra, basically suggesting very subtly, but I felt quite firmly to Don in the contacts, don't keep persisting in exploring Orion and the negatives. It's good to know, and Ra actually gave them a lot, Don, a lot of information. But if you go on and on and on, you will attract their contact. You will attract them. If, and so the longer you peer into the depths of evil, the more that evil will come to influence you. It's very common. And so one should be careful. And so do whatever you want, but it's a law of nature that the more you energy follows thought. And so if the thought and attention is directed towards the research, study, deep knowing of evil and negativity, negative beings, it will increasingly influence you. Period. That's a law. And so if you want love, focus on love. But if you focus on evil, it will more and more affect you. The question is, why are you doing it? And so this is a warning. But the point here is that, yeah, there are, it's sometimes called DROs, D-E-R-O, de-evolved. So yes, indeed, and there was something called the Shaver Mysteries, which was discredited, and is it true, is it not true? But at least the answer here, which people can consider, is that under the planet, in the subterranean portion of the planet that Ra had also talked about, yes, there is a degenerated beings, maybe they're Maldek, but they're astral, they're not physical. However, they're in the astral regions under the Earth, like hell. But they're capable of space flight, but astral space flight, the meaning invisible to us, but sometimes they become visible. Their astral craft coming from the center of the Earth sometimes become visible, and sometimes not, or usually not. But they come from the South Pole. They have allies on the surface. I wonder who. Could they be Satanists and Nazis and New World Order Illuminists? Probably so. They have allies who are without mercy and without morals, obviously. Be on your guard, be careful, vigilant, and don't fall into fascination with evil. And so the point that Trevor makes here is that he says, after here then was the beginning of the real explanation of the hostile spacecraft. The higher forces, the true interplanetary forces, are etheric, the hostile ones astral and of this Earth. Wrong! Sorry! One point is not the whole of a matter. And you see, again, humans are, there's something wrong with human mind. Just because this is true doesn't mean that this being true is the only true. This true, you know, it's like I say the sun rose here in Taiwan, and then somebody says, no, I'm in Fiji, the sun rose here in Fiji. And I said, no, it rose in Taiwan. They say, no, it rose in Fiji. Well, how about it rose in both places? Oh. And so to say that the hostile ones are astral and of this worth only because that's part of what's said is wrong in a view of higher dimensional negative beings of Orion, fourth density, fifth density negative entities, meaning there is a negative path, there is a surface to cell path. So some of the hostile ones are astral of this earth. Others are higher dimensional, not of this earth. Can we consider that? So people should not latch onto one datum, one idea that may be true, and consider that that's only the only truth. There are many, many truths. Truth is very, very complicated. So I'm going to the right. Doesn't mean I'm not going to the left simultaneously, even. Meaning there's, non-locality, and there are many things going on simultaneously, many of which are contradictory or apparently incompatible. So let us be subtle, let us be broad-minded and consider truth wherever it is, and keep searching and keep finding. And when we find, keep finding, keep looking. So the real explanation of hostile spacecraft includes perhaps beings that are astral under the Earth whose craft become visible sometimes. But to just say that all the negative ones are of this Earth and all the positive ones are interplanetary is not, in my view, obviously, is not true at all. There's much more going on than one channeling reveals. So further down, some questions about it. Question, in our solar system, are there any other physical beings like us? Answer, no. All beings on other planets in your solar system are etherics, meaning higher dimensional. On your planet, as you now know, there are two kinds of beings, physical and astral. Actually, there are more than that. Outside the Earth-Moon system, in your solar system, all are etheric. And so this channeling talks a lot about the Earth-Moon system, and we'll see more of that. It's very interesting. Theosophy, some of Bailey Blavatsky got into this a little bit, the negative entities of the moon, and why is a full moon associated with evil and werewolf and scary things and vampires and all that. Well, there is some astral activation, and negative entities that are astral being activated or acting more strongly associated with lunar cycles. So the point from this source is outside the Earth-Moon system, other beings in the solar system are etheric, meaning I think etheric is a stand-in for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th density, higher dimensional. While astral plane is 3rd dimensional, as physical is 3rd densital, 3rd density space-time. So the metaphysics or the cosmologicals are very important if you want to get a sense of cosmic structure and the players who relate to humanity. How far from the surface of the Earth in our measure do the astral regions extend? And so there is a physical counterpart to the astral, although the astral is invisible. The answer here is 125,000 miles. Some people may some bells may go off with that. 125,000 miles. Within them, astral beings are confined. At certain times of the year, meaning lunar and annual cycles, travel to the moon is possible to the astrals when the astral shells of the two bodies overlap. When these shells separate, however, any entities on the moon are cut off from the Earth until the next time the astral shells overlap. No physical or astral entity can go beyond the Earth-Moon system. Now, I don't know if that's true, but kind of astrophysics, astrometaphysics, where the astral region doesn't go beyond 125,000 miles from the surface, that confines astral beings associated with the degenerated immoral race under the Earth, but that they can go to the moon when the astral shell of Earth and moon overlaps when the moon is close, right? Full moon, or sometimes lunar proximity. And then when they disengage or the astral shells, then they can't. So there may be some correlation. This is not my area, but somebody may find this interesting. Going down further. Question, what is the nature of the astral regions around the Earth? Answer, the astral world is divided into two broad sections, according to his view. First, there are the bodiless entities from your surface, the so-called dead people, who must become incarnate again in order to qualify to pass on completely to the etheric state. Some of these entities are awaiting what will be their last incarnation. Others, meaning others on the astral world of the astral plane in the higher section, or other, not higher, I guess, lower, in fact, others are those who have had their carnate, meaning their physical existence, terminated abruptly or accidentally, such as soldiers and criminals. All these entities have in common the intense desire to become fleshly once more in order that they may either carry out something left undone or else may qualify to be no longer earthbound when their incarnations terminate. This is the garden of waiting. There are also the monstrosities and phantasmagoria, which are degenerate thought forms. The other great section, other great section of the astral world is the astral regions of evil, which surround and interpenetrate Earth, inhabited by beings who are forever disincarnate and forever earthbound by decree of the great God of the universe. These beings cannot enter the Garden of Waiting. It is against these forces that we of the etheric world are warring. And that discussion of the warring will continue. And in fact, we will. This is going to probably go to 3 weeks, because I have another page of channeling to read. This description of the astral plane, which in my understanding represents third density higher subplanes 3.4, 0.5, 0.6, 0.7. The time-space portion of third density, non-physical, lower, higher. Now, this is not really two broad sections. This is multiple sections presented. First, you have people who've died, who are basically preparing for reincarnation. And we see the hint here where he's saying that these are people who must incarnate again in order to qualify, to pass on completely, meaning graduate, to the etheric state, quote, etheric state, which here basically identifies the etheric state as fourth dimensional and above. That's all. And so, to pass on completely to the etheric means from 3D required incarnation to fourth density and higher require, you know, allowable incarnation. So some people in the astral, this garden of waiting, are waiting for the last incarnation. Yeah. Then at a lower level, or at another portion of this garden of waiting, those that are waiting for incarnation are people who've had traumatic death. Soldiers, criminals, so on. And saying that both those that are awaiting those their last incarnation and those that had traumatic death and those who are simply, you know, not near the last incarnation but waiting to reincarnate have in common an intense desire to become fleshly once more. And so the basis for human incarnation indeed is a deep mind desire to be incarnate for experiences of the physical. But it can be with an understanding that further experiences of the physical are needed for soul purification, moral development, basically, love, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth chakra activation, that's what we're talking about, so as to be free of the need to keep repeating or cycling in third density, while others simply have strong sensual desires. Then we've got lower astral. Monstrosities, phantasmagoria, degenerate thought forms, right? So the lower portion of the astral, Ra talked about this, are thought forms. Then you also have so-called hell beings, the hell realm, you know? And so thought forms are not ensouled, but there are ensouled entities that are in, quote, astral regions of evil. They surround. So the astral plane is up in the atmosphere, but it also is interpenetrating the physical Earth. So the astral time-space realms, what I would call 3.4 to 3.7, but certainly time-space, interpenetrate the physical Earth and interpenetrate levels of the atmosphere. And so here is some notion of beings forever disincarnate, forever earthbound. I'm not sure how that happens. So I wouldn't, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't match the metaphysics I'm familiar with, meaning beings stay in some realm forever, but, that's the point made here, may be true, may not be, maybe things, obviously I don't know anything about, or it's somewhat mistaken, just like the view that, etherics are all of one type, and so, to just say etheric actually means beings of fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dimension, which are quite different. So in Buddhism, we're talking about 31 planes. Here, we're just talking about physical, astral, etheric. But there, these different systems cosmology can be integrated. And that's what I seek to do, and you can do yourself. So, what's interesting here is this the point that these astral regions of evil, which indeed surround, meaning interpenetrate the atmosphere, and interpenetrate the earth, meaning are co-locational with the physical earth, like down is hell, under the earth, that is lower astral, yes. Those beings can't enter the Garden of Waiting, so they are cordoned off from middle or upper astral, in which beings are preparing, preparing for the next incarnation. Not just waiting, actually. It is against these forces that we of the etheric world are warring. Okay. Question: what form does this war take? Is it a clashing of spaceships in combat? The shallow view. Answer: it is not a matching of violences, as you suggest, but a battle for the control of earthly minds. Even the word control here is problematic. Remember, this is conscious channeling, right? So it's Mr. Trevor, whose mind determined what words to use, to some degree. So that's why he's talking battle and talking about control. It is not a matching of violences, as you suggest, but a battle for the control of earthly minds. Our purpose is to overcome the destructive influence, the physically violent influence, which the Dark Ones seek to exert over mankind. Our purpose is to nullify the astral influence by restraining beings devoted to destruction and physical violence. The Dark Ones seek to relegate the whole world to the darkness wherein they dwell and have power, and thereby increase their influence further. Our task, as decreed by the Heavenly Father, is to nullify, overpower, and banish the work of the Dark Ones by good influences upon humanity. This is the true nature of the battle, rather than spacecraft versus spacecraft. So there you go. It's the war in heaven. Very much akin to the fourth density. This may be one way of talking about the Confederation fourth density holding action against Orion that Ra discussed. Four different fourth density positive Confederation groups rotating ever in spiritual activity, counterbalancing, neutralizing Orion influence. Very much like what's going on here, except here it's discussed in terms of astral. And so the missing portion is that Orion is not astral. Orion is 4D and 5D negative, mainly 4D negative, and that's what Ra was just who Ra indicated was on the negative side in this war in heaven. Here it's being presented as astral. Okay, there's probably both going on. And so beings devoted to destruction and physical violence, yeah, there are quite a number of them on the earth, under the earth, around the earth, in the astral, in the physical. And that's, we don't war against human powers, but against, it's not a human foe, but powers and principalities, evil and wickedness in high places. High places meaning astral and 4D negative, particularly. So, the Dark Ones, the negatives, they seek to relegate the whole world to the darkness wherein they dwell and have power, to make 3D, to make Earth hell, to make Earth an evil realm like where they live, to make space-time akin to the lower astral. That's what they're doing. What do you think? Look at Vigilant Citizen. Look at occult Babylonian rituals going on at halftime shows. Look at spirit cooking. Look at the evils of human leadership. All sorts of things. Trying to make Earth hell. Trying to degrade humanity and influence humanity to degrade itself, to animalize, to primitivize, to basically demoralize itself. Moral. Self-degradation. That's what's being taught by negative entities, and the positive entities counteract that, decreed by the Heavenly Father. So it's, If you have a problem with all evil, take it to the big man. Take it to the Logos. It's the Logos that wants that to be. And if the Logos didn't want it to be, it wouldn't be. And so, is that not my scheme? I didn't make it up. The Logos lets that evil ride because, that's a cosmic plan of polarity. And the Logos wishes to experience light and dark or the full infinite potential of its infinite nature. Its infinite true nature includes potentials for all infinite possibility, including rank evil and these destructive, wicked people and astral entities. Hey, that's the creation we're living in. Question: these astrals from the Earth's core, I take it, are the Dero. It's sort of de-evolutionary. I forgot the exact basis of that, but it's something, a book called The Shaver Mysteries, and it was discredited, or it's real, who knows? The answer, anyway, are these astrals from the Earth's core, are they Dero? Answer, no. The Dero are no longer confined in the caves of legend and story, but are reincarnated again upon your surface. Many of your eminent scientists on Earth, driving forward with the perfection of ever more prodigious blast forces, are reincarnated Deros. Because of their prior lives as cannibals and degenerate beings, they are prone to exert themselves for destructive ends, since they fall easily under the astral influence. So we've got negative astrals and benevolent etherics. And that's pretty much the metaphysics, cosmologicals presented here. There are benevolent astrals way up at the higher levels, by the way. 3.6, 3.7 are astral ashrams, and I assure you they're quite positive. And there are so-called etherics, or fourth and fifth density negative entities, too. So it's a little bit more complicated. But the Deros, I think, are probably Maldek souls. And so the idea that they're reincarnated on the surface means they're reincarnated in human body again. Who are they? I don't know. But to say that there are reincarnated Maldek souls that are scientists, who in their prior lives were cannibals and degenerate beings, is a little of a stretch, but possible. So, degenerate scientists. You can find them. They talk about AI. They want to robotize and transhuman people. They want to turn humans into zombies and machines and robots, or have them extinguish humanity. So, eminent science, many, not all, many of your eminent scientists on Earth driving forward at the perfection of ever more prodigious blast forces, meaning destructive weaponry, are reincarnated Deros, past lives as criminals or cannibals and degenerate beings, prone to exert themselves for destructive ends. By the fruit shall ye know them, since they fall easily under the astral influence. And so lots of negative humans are partially possessed or significantly possessed by negative entities who are astral, and a negative astral influence overshadowing possession. It's very common, not unusual. A little bit more. Some questions about etheric substance, which looks to me like higher dimensional, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional, rupa loka, arupa loka in Buddhism. I wish to ask a question or two concerning etheric substance. Answer: we will be glad to answer whatever we can for you. We wish to arm you with as much knowledge as possible, and are limited in this only by your power to assimilate it. I do not wish to talk over your head, but we will supply you with knowledge to the limit of your understanding. How different this channeling is from modern new agees that are saying, "Dear ones, we love you so much, we're so proud of you, we're so happy." I wonder why. I wonder why this seems so rational and scientific and logical, analytical, reasonable, rational, calm, measured, careful. While much modern channeling seems very emotional and sentimental and feeling based, I wonder why. Maybe the channeler influences the level of reception, what's received, who's contacted, who's transmitting, and how it comes out. Seems to be. But the intelligence of this presentation or this type of dialogue seems to surpass a lot of modern channelings to me, which seem very emotional and sentimental and schmaltzy and cotton candy, lovey-dovey, and very shallow, frankly. Here we got some real information. So, I do not wish to talk over your head, but we will supply you with knowledge to the limit of your understanding. Question, I am puzzled by the concept of etheric matter. For example, there's one case on record where one of our jet aircraft flew right through a spaceship without hitting anything solid, whatever. Are your ships made of a vaporous substance, or are they a different form of earthly matter? And this is a very interesting answer here. Answer, we have all the elements you know about on Earth, and many more. The etheric form of these metals differs in its atomic and molecular structure from Earth-made metals. For example, the distance between the nucleus and the orbiting electrons of the etheric iron nucleus is much greater than in iron as you know it on Earth. This permits the atoms of earthly steel to pass right through the atoms of etheric steel in such a way that nothing happens to either form of steel. The etheric steel enjoys a higher vibratory rate than earthly steel and is therefore not apparent to earthly vision, or, if you prefer, physical eyesight. Under certain circumstances, it becomes visible, as in the presence of certain atmospheric gases of Shan, Earth, or at will in accordance with the desire or of the controlling intelligence. No matter how great the mass of etheric substance, even a spaceship measuring many miles across in your measure, physical matter cannot damage or injure it or its contents. So, the reports of UFOs brought down by radio waves or, microwaves or some kind of human technology would not be fourth and fifth and sixth dimensional ship or ships. It would be astral or physical. Again, there's so much going on. There are many sources of craft. There are many interpretations for the appearance of any so-called craft. The apparent appearance, the appearance of an apparent craft, could be a thought form, obviously it could be a hallucination, could be an astral, it could be a fourth or fifth dimensional, sixth dimensional based manifestation, could be a combination of those. So, but the idea that there's etheric iron or etheric steel versus physical, and the atoms, the space of the atoms, the atomic space, spaciousness of the atoms is far greater, is an interesting idea. But this is, this is the metaphysics of higher dimensional substance, and it's not my specialty. But it's interesting, and some people may find it useful. I'm getting close to the end here. Going down, when you speak of making etheric matter visible at will, is this the way that George Adamski was permitted to take his now famous photographs? The answer is yes. Ether ships, quote, ether ships, as they have been called on your surface, have been made visible to and for certain individuals selected upon your surface, of whom Adamski is one. Normally, the ships are part of the invisible world. Question. If one were to develop astral vision or the psychic eye, would he then see the ships? And that's a very interesting question because there are levels of non-physical vision. There's the vision that can see the the biochemical electrical field, the bioelectrical field, like an aura. So some people can see some levels of the bioelectrical field. Some people can see astral form, Some people can see all levels of astral form, but not, but others can see only some levels of astral form. Others can see higher dimensional, which is, I think, what he means by etheric. And so this is an answer, interesting answer here to the question, if somebody has astral vision, will they see the ships? See how simple humans think? Oh, okay, I'll have astral vision, now I'll see the ships. First of all, there are many levels of spiritual vision. Secondly, there are many levels of reality that can or cannot be seen. So the people should grow up and realize these things are very complicated, and they're it's not just a matter of, oh, I have this, so I get that. There are many levels of getting this, and there are many levels of that that can or cannot, may or may not be gotten. Answer is no. Not unless the vibratory rate of the ship were converted to the vibratory range of astral vision. And this is still above physical. Remember, the etheric vibratory rate is higher than the astral. Very few physical humans have some perception of the etheric, but they are not normal people as you know them, and for the most part dwell in very secluded places. As a general rule, perception of the etheric through vision cannot be accomplished except through the will of the etheric, meaning the being, converting etheric substance to a vibratory level where it is physically visible. So we've got etheric and its visibility, we've got astral, we've got physical and their visibility, we've got the level of the being who can or cannot see astral levels or etheric levels, the etheric higher than the astral in this schema. Indeed, very few physical humans, meaning humans in body, can perceive beyond the astral. And here it's said that they're not normal. Indeed, they're adepts in the forest. And for the most part, dwell in very secluded places. This is what I've said for a long time, obviously. Yeah, there are third and fourth stage awakened here, but you won't find them. They're not at the body, mind, spirit expos, and they don't write books, and they don't present publicly. You can't even find them. They don't want to be found. They're too sensitive, you know? The most delicate birds appear very quiet, very. There's a bird that's appeared here in the morning sometimes, very early, about 5, 5:30. And he basically doesn't do a bird call, he speaks. There is no repetition. It's not like quawk, 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 quawk. He basically goes quawk, quawk. All sorts of. He's talking. He's not chanting. He's talking. And he doesn't come every morning. He comes only for about 5 minutes and he's gone. That's like these people that are real adepts. They just appear and they're gone. Like the super duper amazing butterflies that one can see. They're only in the deep mountains. They don't go further. They're too sensitive to be. They're too sensitive for coarse vibrations. And so, this kind of high level spiritual development is associated with great sensitivity, like a highly polished mirror. And the highly polished mirror can't remain highly polished if it's in near the hustle and bustle of humanity. Even the hustle and bustle of nature. It's not in the farms, it's deep, deep in the mountains. Not near the farms, and the farms are far from the city. So you've got the city, and you've got the town, and the village, and the farms, and then you've got the inhabited areas, and then you've got the forest, and then you've got the deep, deep forest. And that's where the most sensitive remain, generally. And so, for the most part, dwell in very secluded places. And in general, most people don't have higher dimensional vision. At best, they have some level of astral perception and astral vision. And actually, that's all we're going to do for today. Next time, we're going to pick up in the next section of channeling or received messages about the nature of the core of the earth. Some commentary that he's made on George Adamski. So we'll start next time with this middle section here about what's the nature of the core of our planet. Is it solid or hollow? And talk about, again, the distinction between physical, astral, and etheric beings, physical, astral, and etheric life, positive and negatively oriented beings of the physical, astral, and etheric, wherein here the etheric is pretty much only positive, higher dimensional, and astral is somewhat mixed. Those in the garden of waiting needing to come back to 3D incarnation, and then thought form entities, and then negatively oriented entities, and how that relates to the planet, you know, the center of the Earth, how it relates to the Moon, how it relates to the South Pole, how it relates to UFO appearances, ships seen and contacting. And we'll take this another couple of weeks, and then also go from spaceman friends and foes to they live in the sky, which is another interesting channeling. But we're just going to read a few passages from it, and that'll be it. So I hope this was helpful. It's certainly very interesting. Please take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.